Good morning. Monday morning, let's get started with an exciting daf ahead. Baruch Hashem. All dafim should be exciting. This one happens to bring out, again, just some of the very famous Agadic Gemaras on Moshe Rabbeinu. Where was he buried? And why he wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael. Then we go back to the second parak, Emirat Hashem, back to more Sota type issues, back to her Karban Mincha, and some of the placement in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's get started. We're about 18 lines up. 18, Chai. We're starting on a roll here today. 18 lines up on Yod Gimel Amud Beis. Vayelech Moshe V'Yoshua. We're continuing to discuss Moshe's final hurrah here in the world. Vayelech Moshe V'Yoshua V'Yisyatzu V'Oel Moed. And they stood by the Oel Moed. Tana Osa Shavas Shel Dyo Zugi Zuge Hoysa. That Shabbos was literally the transition of authority. It was the Shabbos of the pairs, meaning Moshe, as we know, passed away on Shabbos. So that Shabbos was the transition from Moshe to Yoshua. Nitelus Rishus Mizeh V'nit Nalizeh. Moshe died, and then it went on to Yoshua. Amar Behuda, Il Mole Mikra Kosov, had the Torah not wrote the following, E Efshur La'omra, we wouldn't have been able to say it. We're about 10 lines up on Gimel Amud Beis. Heichon Moshe Meis, where did Moshe die? V'chelko shel Ruvain. Moshe died in the chelek of Ruvain. D'ksiv ayal Moshe me'arvos mov al har Nevo. V'Nevo v'chelko shel Ruvain kayama. And we know that Nevo, har Nevo, where Moshe died, was in the portion of Ruvain. D'ksiv, as we have a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, uvnei Ruvain b'no v'gomer ves Nevo v'gomer. The juxtaposition of the two shows that har Nevo was in the chelek of Ruvain. V'heichon Moshe kavor. So great. So Moshe passed away on Har Nevo, which was in the chelek of Reuven. But where was he buried? V'chelko shel Gad. He was buried in the portion of Gad. D'ksiv v'yar reishis lo v'chulu. So we see God saw at the beginning of the conquest of the land of Eretz Yisrael that Moshe was going to be buried in his portion. So now wait. If Moshe passed away in the portion of Reuven, but was buried in the portion of Gad, Mechelko shel Reuven and Chelko shel Gad kamahavi. What's the distance between these two portions? Arba milen. That's 4 milen. It's between 1.1 and 1.5 miles. That's a lot of space between the two. Osa arba milen. Miholicho. Who brought him? Lamed. Shai Moshe mutal v'kanfei Shechina. That literally Moshe was mutal. He was placed in the kanfei Shechina. Whatever this might mean, Hashem literally brought him from the chelek of Ruin to the chelek of God, where he was eventually buried. Malachi Sharis Omrim. Now Moshe's eulogies, very short eulogies. Who's eulogizing Moshe Rabbeinu? The angels and Hashem. Tzidkas Hashem Asa Umishpato v'Mishrael. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omer. What does Hashem say about Moshe? Miyakum liyimreim. Miyis yasev liyim poli oven. Who's going to help me have the Jewish people return? Who's going to give them rebuke? Who's going to help them come back to me? Unbelievable. Ushmul Amar Mikeh Chacham, who is like the wise person, Umiodea Pesher Dover, who knows how to compromise, negotiate, Rashi, fascinating Rashi, the last skinny line, second line up from the bottom, Pesher Dover, Shayodea Lasos Pshara Beini Uvein Beni. He knows, Moshe Rabbeinu knows how to make compromises. When I want to wipe out the Jewish people, Moshe knows how to convince me out of it. Unbelievable. Rabbi Yochanan Amar HaChachma Me'ayin Timsa, where can Chachma be found? Me'ayin Timsa, where can it be found? Or, some can read it, Me'ayin Timsa, only from Ayin, when a person sees himself as nothing, or very low, humility, there Chachma can be found. Which reminds me of an amazing pshat I heard, a question that bothered me for a long time, about 10, 11, 12 years ago. The first mission of Pirkei Avos. What does it say? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe kibel Torah from what? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai? Moshe accepted the Torah from Sinai? Hold on. Either Moshe kibel Torah al Sinai, while he was standing on Har Sinai, or Moshe kibel Torah me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he accepted the Torah from Sinai? That really bothered me. And it was bothering me for about a year or so. I remember I was learning with my chavrusa Eli Zainz, who's now the director of NC Swine in Boca, and we were learning together Pirkei Avos back in Camp Hask one summer, and we just, it bothered us.
Especially since that Sinai is Sinas.
Sinas.
It's hatred.
Oh, so it's not spelt the same way, though. Very important. Good. It's Samach instead of Sin, which is very important. So it doesn't have that same sort of connotation. But the connotation it does have from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I heard a while later from my Rosner. It was beautiful. I heard this, I was like, whoa, that's the answer. Lubavitcher Rebbe, and apparently others bring down that Moshe Kibel Torah miSinai, from making himself like Sinai, making himself low, making himself a receptacle to then accept. That's how he was able to Kibel Torah. Only from that point, which is similar to this line that we have here. Hechachma me'ayin timsa. Only when we can recognize that we're like an ayin, that, you know, that we're like nothing, not, you know, it's very important to have self-esteem. I was sitting beside somebody on the train yesterday, Aaron Katz, who was showing me, Rabbi, Tversky's book. That name was always hard for me to say. Tversky, I don't know why. Tversky. Right, Tversky's book. And he, apparently he wrote about 70 books, and what he writes in a different article is that he struggled with self-esteem. Tversky writes this. He struggled with self-esteem, and therefore all his books, the common theme is how to have self-esteem. Self-esteem is very important. We have to have this balance between self-esteem, but also may ayin, right? Ayin, or like making ourselves like Harsinai, unbelievable thing. Just last point. It was one of the students from Bar Ilan where I taught. At the end of the year, she said something like, whoa, now I know how little I know. I was like, oh, that's a success. If we can only recognize how little we know, that's unbelievable. And the more we learn, we should recognize, wow, now I truly recognize how little I know. So, Rav Nachman Amar, Vayamas Sham Moshe, Bechulu, Smalion Amar. What does Smalion say? Who is Smalion? Rashi says he was a Shem Chacham. Interesting. Tosas brings the Deah, Perish Rebbeinu Chananel, Istami Malach. So whoever, well, either it's a Shem Chacham or a Malach, Smalion says, Amar Vayomas Shem Moshe, Sifer Rabbi Yisrael. He was the great scribe of the Jewish people. By the way, the Maral brings down here, feel free to take a look, that all these sayings that we have, all these little eulogies that we have, it's in ascending order of greatness. Interesting. If you go through it again, by Chazar, you'll be able to see what the connotations are. Feel free to take a look in the Maral. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer Hagadol Omer, Shnei Masar Mil al Shnei Masar Mil, Keneged Machane Yisrael, that there were 12 mil by 12 mil, correlating to the Machne Yisrael, where the Jewish people camped. Bas Kol Mashmia V'Omer, and a Bas Kol, heavenly voice, came out, projected, and said, Yamas Moshe Sifer Rabba Yisrael, V'yesh Omrim Lomes Moshe. Some people say, wait, Moshe never really died. Some say, Ksiv Hacha V'Yamas Shem, Uksiv Hasam V'Hi Shem Im Hashem. Moshe was on, or Moshe was there, Im Hashem, there with Hashem, 40 days and 40 nights learning Torah in Shemayim. Malalon Omeidu Mishamish. Just like there when he was learning Torah, he was Omeidu Mishamish. He was up there the whole time. Afkan Omeidu Mishamish. So to hear, he was not really dead, but he's Omeidu Mishamish by Hashem. Vayikbar Oso Bagai, the Eretz Moav, Mul Beis Peor. He was buried in Gai, in Eretz Moav, opposite Beis Peor. Amar Rebbe Brachia, Simen Besoch Simen. Afilu Hachiv Lo Yad Eishkes Kvar Oso. Hashem's giving us so many hints where he's buried, but still, nobody knows where he is. Ukvar Shelcha Malchus HaRisha. It's Elgastra Shel Beis Peor. And really, the Malchus, the Risha, Rome, apparently, sent to the minister of Beis Peor, turning over Yadalad Amin Aleph. Hareinu Hechon Moshe cover. Show me, where is Moshe buried? Amdolamala. By the way, why don't we know where Moshe buried? Why can't we know that? Why is it so confidential? Oh, so you're bringing two separate points. First point is Psikta Zutra, which says that Hashem doesn't want the non-Jewish nations to come and start deifying him and bringing him all these idols. The second point is from the Maral, because Moshe Rabbeinu has such potency in his tefillah that whenever we daven to him, Hashem will probably have to listen to him. And the world can't function in a way that perhaps every time anybody asks for something, it will take place. So those two separate points about not being wanted diving for him is for us, deifying him might be for the non-Jewish nations. So this Risha Malchus of Rome wanted to find out where he is. Hareinu Heichan Moshe Kavor, show me where is he buried. Amdu Lamala Nidma Mamata. So they went up to the Beis Peor area. Looks like he was up there. No, he was down there. Lamata looks like he was down there. They went down there. Nidma Lamala. He was really up there. Nechlekula Shekito. So they said, okay, you go on top, I go on bottom. Let's try to find where this burial plot is. O son, Sh'omdim Lamala, those who were standing above, Nidmem Lamata. And for them, it looked like it was down there. Lamata, Nidmem Lamala. For those who were down there, it looked like it was up there. L'chaim HaShem, Rav Lo Yad Ishkes for us all. This is going to be Mekayim, but it says, nobody will ever know where he's buried. Rav Rechinin Amar, Af Moshe Rabbeinu, Eino Yodei Hechon Kofor. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever this means, doesn't know where he was buried. Ksiv HaChav Lo Yad Ishkes for us all. It says here that, Lo Yad Ishkes for us all. Uksiv HaSam, and it says elsewhere, that Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to an ish, as an ish. V'zos ha-bracha sher berach Moshe ish ho-elokim. So that ish can be compared to the ish here, Gzir Shava, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not know where he was buried. Amar b'chama Rebbe Chanina, nipnei ma nikbar Moshe etzel Beis Peor. Why was he buried by Beis Peor? Well, what was Beis Peor? What happened by Beis Peor? What am I based for?
That's where the sacrifice, where the Yeshua.
Bilam unleashed the Benos Moav, and they seduced the Bnei Yisrael, and they had them worship idols. This was a big downfall for us in the Midbar, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was buried there, out of all places. Why? It says the Gemara Keti Lechaper al Maisapor. So that he can be mechaper on my support. There's a tosus here that's agadata sheba agadata. It's amazing to take a look at it. He quotes umedrash agada. I didn't fully understand the end of it, but you just got to read it. B'chol shana v'shana be'es shechatu Yisrael b'bnos mov ba'oso perak. At that moment, at that place, where the Bnei Yisrael sin with the Bnos mov, beis pa'or ola lamala. The beis pa'or, that place, goes up l'katrei u'lahaskir avon. They go up every year at that moment to go tell Hashem, remember what happened with your children? Uchshu roa kivrov shel Moshe. But literally, when they start to ascend and they see Moshe's kivr there, choser vishokea. They get swallowed back into the ground. They can't get up. They want to. But they can't get up. Every year. Still now, it seems. Choser vishokea shel Moshe Rabbeinu shiko bakarka ad chotmo. I don't understand this line. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the ground until his nose. And every time they go up, every time they go up, they get sucked back in. Some sort of stuff going on there. If anybody has more insight into this Tosis, I'd love to hear. But we see that Moshe Rabbeinu being there has some supernatural powers. Bummer. Interesting. Maybe. Cool. Very nice thought, Larry. Thank you. V'amar v'chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Ma'idik ziv achre Hashem l'keichem telchu. And we should go after Hashem. We should go after Hashem. Famous question. V'chi efshar lo l'adam l'alech achar shechina. Can a person really kind of follow the shechina? V'alok far nemar ki Hashem l'keichem eish ochlahu. A shechina is like a consuming fire. How do we kind of touch the shechina? Ela halech achar mi dosav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should try to resemble Hashem's character traits. Mahu mal b'sharumim. Going in order, it seems, of what happens in the Parshios. Hashem is malbish harumim for Adam and Chava, diksiv vayas Hashem Elokim l'Adam ulishto kosnos or vayal b'shem. Avata halbish harum. So too, you should dress those that need clothes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim, diksiv vayera elav Hashem beloneim. Amamrei vayera elav Hashem beloneim. Amamrei. My Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Right? Hashem visited Avram Avinu when he was sick. Avata biker cholim. So to you, all of us, we should be mevaker cholim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nichem aveilam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu visits those that are sitting shiva. Vayhi achrei mos Avram vayivarech Elokim es Yitzchak b'no. Right, and Hashem blessed Yitzchak after Avram passed away, as Rashi says, ubircho birchas aveilam, and he blessed him some sort of bracha of the aveilam. Afatan nichem aveilam. So too, we should do the same. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kavar mesim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu buries those that are dead. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. Afata kavur mesim. So too we should bury mesim. We could resemble Hashem. We're created b'tzelem elokim, and we should strive after these types of character traits. Kosnos or. What does this mean that Hashem dressed Adam and Chava in kosnos or? Rav Shmuel chad amar davar habam in or. One says no. It's like leather, kind of animal hide. Chad amar davar she or nenami menu. It's not necessarily leather. Wearing leather on our skin is not necessarily comfortable. It's warm as a jacket, but as an inner layer, you know. A leather undershirt probably does not sound too comfortable. So it's a material that the skin benefits from. Darsh Rebbe Simlai, Torah, in our Torah, Tchiloso Gimilas Chasadim, Sofa Gimilas Chasadim. It starts with Chesed, it ends with Chesed. Tchiloso Gimilas Chasadim, Dixiv Vayas Hashem Lokim Ladam Ulishto Kosnos Or Vayal Bishem. Hashem Dresad Mechava. The Sofa Gimilas Chasadim, Dixiv Vayikbor So Bagai. Hashem starts and ends with Milas Chasadim. Darsh Rebbe Simlai, right? Perhaps I'm just saying now, Olam Chesed Yibana, the world is built on Chesed, that we should recognize that. Darsh Rebbe Simlai, Mipnei Manis, Ava Moshe Rabbeinu, Likonis, Eretz Yisrael. Famous question. Oh, why did Moshe want to go into Eretz Yisrael? Yechilechol Mipir Yahut Tzarech? Oh, look at those fruit that those spies brought back. Oh, look, they just look like luscious fruit. I just want to eat those fruit. Oh, spell me tuva hutzarach. Does he want to go lounge on the beach in Tel Aviv? Does he just want to go work for a startup? What does he want to do? What does Moshe Rabbeinu want to do here in Eretz Yisrael? Elakach Amar Moshe. So says Moshe. Harbi mitzvos nitzavu Yisrael in Meskaim and Elav Eretz Yisrael. Eli, I think we discussed this yesterday briefly. There's a lot of mitzvos that we can only do in Eretz Yisrael, like Shemitah. Last year, Baruch Hashem, with the Schus, still now, there's a lot of Shemitah produce in the stores. Oftentimes, we get turned off by it. Oh, Shemitah. Oh, it's too intense. This is why we should want a desire to get into Eretz Yisrael. Ekanes ani la'aretz. Let me go into Eretz Yisrael, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Kidei sheyiskaimu kulon al yodi. Let me go into Eretz Yisrael so that it can all be fulfilled through me. All these mitzvot that I'm teaching the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Let me finally do them. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Klumat mevaki shalakav l'schar, Moshe. Is all you want to do be mekabel schar? Is that what you're up to? You only want to be mekabel schar? Mala ni'olecha kilasisem. I'm going to make it upon you as if you did them. Again, listen to these words. Mala ni'olecha. This bothered me a lot yesterday. I only found the answer at about 5:50 this morning, which is very exciting. Mala ni'olecha. I will make it. I will literally put onto you, singular, kilu asisem, that you did them. Plural. So if we were to just read this quick, dafyomi, okay, great, so I'll make it like you did it, awesome, done, next. But what does this mean? Think about it. I couldn't...
Asisam is not referring to that you did plural mitzvahs?
It seems like it is. You want it... Listen to the context of the Gemara. The only reason why you want to go into Eretz Yisrael is to do mitzvahs. You only want schar. So Moshe, look, we'll make a little deal. I can't let you go in, but I'll give you schar for doing all these Eretz Yisrael mitzvahs. What's going on? Mal ani olecha kilu asisem. Either mal ani alechem kilu asisem, mal ani olecha kilu asisa. I was bothered by this, and I saw just a point in the bottom of the article here, which I don't like to read verbatim in the article, but it was just like an unbelievable point, and it really brings out a couple of these challenges with this Gemara, and it brings out beautifully from the Gaon Yaakov. I don't know who the Gaon Yaakov is, but I think it probably brings it down to the beginning of the art scroll. Anyways, the Gaon Yaakov, beautiful pshat, whoever it is, I thank him, and I thank our scroll for bringing it down. There are several difficulties with Rabbi Simloy's teaching with the commentators, which the commentators discuss at length. Gaon Yaakov points out the following. How can Rabbi Simloy ask why Moshe desired to enter Eretz Yisrael? The first question. The great merit of living in Eretz Yisrael is well established. And the Avos, Tanoim, all the righteous men, desire to dwell there. Number two question. The response of the Holy One, blessed is to Moshe. Do you seek anything other than to gain reward? That seems odd. Was that Moshe's spiritual level? Could it be that the Supreme Prophet served his master only for the sake of attaining payment? Heaven forbid. Don't we know the mission in Pirkei Avos, right? Right? That lo amisham shenasrav kabal pras, right? That we shouldn't serve Hashem for reward. Hashem says, only reason why you go in is to get reward. What? This is Moshe Rabbeinu. After all we discussed about his death and about being alive, you know? Number three, finally, the phrasing of Moshe's comment. Here's our question. I will enter the land so that the mitzvos will be fulfilled through me. Or, similar question, is awkward. He should have said, so that I may fulfill the mitzvos. What does it mean, to be fulfilled through me? This is going to touch on our answer. The Gaon Yaakov offers the following approach. It is certainly a great mitzvah to dwell in Eretz Yisrael, to observe the Eten Halachos, and to partake of its holiness. But Moshe did not beseech Hashem to allow him to dwell there, since he knew that the decree had already been issued, and so dwelling in Eretz Yisrael was out of the question. That was done. That case was closed. Moshe asked only, let me now cross and see the land. Moshe wished only to enter the land and see it for a short time, not to be there, not to live there. It is in this context where Rabbi Simloy presents his question. It would make perfect sense if Moshe wanted to ascend to Eretz Yisrael and settle there permanently. This was the goal of the Avos as well. But why, Rabbi Simloy, would he want to merely visit without being able to live there? This would be comparable to entering an orchard, tasting its fruit, and leaving. Is that what Moshe desired? Meaning, why want to enter for just a short period of time? Certainly not. What Moshe did desire, Rabbi Simloy explains, was a spiritual betterment of other Jews. Oh. Was he not content with the spiritual perfection he had achieved? He was not content with the spiritual perfection he had achieved himself, but he wished to help other Jews perfect themselves as well. He therefore urged other Jews to observe the mitzvos that were coming upon them whenever the opportunity arose. However, there was a large segment of mitzvos regarding which Moshe would not have the chance to prompt his people. He didn't have the ability to tell them, okay, guys, do this now, do this now. They didn't have the chance to do any mitzvos at Tzolis Baritz yet. The mitzvos depend upon the land. Therefore, he wished to end Eretz Yisrael briefly to do all that he could so that they should observe the laws. Oh, now we're getting to the words that we use there, right? and then he would leave. In this way, all the mitzvot would be fulfilled through him. The Holy One blessed, he responded, all you want is to receive a reward, not a reward in this world or the next, but to earn the merit of fostering the observance of the mitzvot depend on the land. If that is what you want, then I recognize it as if you perform them. All you're looking to do is to be mezaka klal Yisrael, then I'll make it like you did it. As if all the Jews will perform and uphold the mitzvot because of you, and you are the catalyst for this. The Anaf Yosef just brings down briefly also about the golden calf here. Also, anyways, beautiful, beautiful stuff about Moshe Rabbeinu and about what his true intentions were behind it. That then makes sense if we take the words again. Mala ani alecha, I will consider it as if you, right? Kilu asisem. I'm going to give you the reward as if everybody did it, because his intention was for Klal Yisrael to do it, and therefore that's what Hashem wanted him to do.
It's very nice, Pshav. I'm not sure that the asisem, I'm not sure it's right, because in Hebrew, kilu asisem, it doesn't mean necessarily, I don't think it means necessarily kilu asisem, as if you, plural, did it. But kilu asisem, as if you, singular, did them, the mitzvahs.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Ellie. You seem to be totally right. It's totally right. And I'm...
No, I don't know. No. It could be that.
That sounds totally right. That sounds... meaning, Alecha is you, and Asisem is the mitzvos. I think you're right. And I'm appreciative that I had my question, which prompted me to look around for an answer. Because at least the answer answers other questions that we didn't really discuss. And thank you for clarifying from a Hebrew grammar perspective. And now we get a much broader picture. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. Shenemar. Now we're going to bring up a large pasuk in Yeshaya. Lachena Chalik, right, which is going to discuss Moshe Rabbeinu. Lachena Chalik Lo Barabim. I'm going to kind of like divide for him from an abundance. Esatzum Yichalik Shalal. And from the strong, meaning from the Avo, so to say. Yichalik Shalal, I'll give him his schar, I'll give him his bounty. Tachas Asher Tachas Asher Ha'ara Lamos Nafsho. To the tzaddik, so to say, who put himself in the path of death. That's poshim nimna, and we're going to discuss this pasuk in just a few moments. That's poshim nimna, counted himself among the sinners. Hu chota rabim nason, he carried the sin of the multitudes. Ula poshim yafkia, he davened for those who sinned. Lachina chalek lo brabim, therefore I'm going to give him great schar. Yochol kachronim lo krishonim, maybe Hashem will give some sort of schar like later generations, but not like the avos. Tamlam reves atzumim yichalek shalal, kavram yitzchak v'yakov. Shenatzumim about Torah uv mitzvos, that they were truly, truly great. Tachas asher hara lamosnaf sho, what does that part of the pasuk mean? That he placed himself, so to say, in the path of death. Shemasar atzmo lemisa, that Moshe was ready to die. Where? When? Shenemar vim ayin mecheni na misifrecha. If not, meaning that if you're not going to forgive them, then erase me from your book. I don't want to be involved with this chain. It's amazing, we had the word ayin already twice. In today's daf, we had ayin earlier. Hechachma may ayin timsa. We had the beautiful pshat there. Now we have ayin again. Moshe Rabbeinu, unbelievable. That's poshim nimna. That, by the way, takes true humility. Hashem saying you're basically going to be the man, and he's like, no. Avraham's like, Yaakov, I'm just one of the links in the chain. Unbelievable for us to have that approach to our place in Judaism too. That it's not all about us, but it's about being a link in the chain and the best link, the strongest link that we could be. Vesposhim nimna, shinimna emese midbar, that he'd be counted with emese midbar. Uchata rabim, vuchet rabim nasan, he would carry the chet of the rabim. Shekipar al maisaha ego. That he would bring about a forgiveness, an atonement for the maisa ego. Uleposhim yafkin, he would daven for those who sinned. Shebike shrachim al poshe yisrael, sheachshu b'tshuva, he would beg Hashem that the Jews should return in tshuva. Ein pigia el tefila, pigia means tefila. Shinemar, ata el altispalal be. Pasuk from Yirmiyah, which describes Tifka being Tefila. Hajnloch HaMekani Lishto, Masav on the first parak. And as we wrap up the first parak, just have to one short shot. I'm sure that we all know, but we have to be reminded of when we speak about Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness and the fact that he was so focused on other people. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, of course, says that we can all be like Moshe Rabbeinu. We can all be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Rambam, we can all be like Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, as high as Moshe Rabbeinu. The Radak comments in first parak of Yoshua and says Moshe was an Eved Hashem. What's an Eved Hashem? Says the Radak, he who serves Hashem with all of his resources, his talents, his strengths, channels that to serve Hashem in all areas of life. That's who Moshe was. He put forth all of who he was to serve Hashem. We could also do that. Whatever Hashem has given us, if we each use our individual talents, strengths, resources to serve Hashem in the maximum capacity that we can, says the Rambam, we can all be like Moshe. Rabbeinu get the same kind of schar as Moshe Rabbeinu, be on the same kind of level. Unbelievable. Let's do so. Says the Mishnah, I'm sure that, you know, I'm always strengthened that we wake up when we do to come here and learn Gemara. I'm sure that it's a huge step in the right direction. Says the Mishnah, Hayamavius mincha besoch kvifas kvifa mitzvos. That after about 7 or 8 blot of almost pure agadata, we're back to misachasota, right? Misachasota, that the Baal brings the karban mincha, passes it along to the Isha, as Rashi explains, in this wicker basket, made of like palm trees. The notna al yodea kedeliyaga, and places it on her hand, kedeliyaga, to tire her out. The Gemara is going to explain that. We had liyaga elsewhere also, right? We kind of ask her these questions. We bring her up and down from the harabais. We explained that before in the Mishnayos, to show that we don't want her to go through the sota drinking process. We would like her to admit beforehand. Koha menachos tchila asan misofan b'chlisharis, that a general karban mincha, it starts and ends with a kli sharis. Vizut chilasa bechfifa mitzras v'sofa b'kli sharis. But this starts with a some sort of like wicker basket kind of thing and ends in a kli sharis. Kol hamenachos tu'unos shemen ulevona. Another contrast. Generally, a karban mincha requires oil and frankincense. Vizu ena tuna lo shemen ulevona. This does not require neither oil nor frankincense. Kol hamenachos bos menachitin. All karban minchas come from wheat. Vizu ba menasa orin. This comes from barley. Coarse. Minchas ha'omer. Minchas omer, afal pi sheba menasa oren. That also comes from se'oren, but it's a different type. Hi ha'isa ba geres. That's some sort of fine flour. Zu ba kemach. This comes from like meal flour. Omer. Kishem shema seha maise behema. Sorry. Rabbi Gamliel omer. Thank you. Rabbi Gamliel omer. Rabbi Gamliel comments. Kishem shema seha maise behema. Just like her action was like a maise behema. Kach karbana maichel behema. So too her karban is also going to resemble a maichel behema. I was thinking about this while I was on the train yesterday to Tel Aviv, and I was thinking, wow. What did we say before on daf? On daf, we had the Karen Ora. We had the Karen Ora on daf. Karen Ora on daf. Dalet Amad Beis, which says that what? Whoever washes without Netilas Yadayim, Kilu. Kilu. Bali Shazam. That was the Gemara. And the Karen Ora there said, which we explained, it's great, temptation in both cases. I was thinking, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just being temptation in both places. Uri Schneider, who's a part of the Shir, who's in the States now, on a business trip, he told me after this year, maybe it's more than that. Maybe because the reference to intimacy is often referred to as food, right? Like, a wife is considered pas basalo. There's a lot of euphemism between food, eating food. There's a lot of euphemisms in food and intimacy. And I was thinking here, maybe here as well, there's some sort of depth here between food, right? Kach kishem she maseha maisa behema. And even if she didn't do the act, but there was yichud, there was some sort of focus on the materialism, on the physicality, so too the carbon itself is going to be it. Because food and intimacy, I was thinking, are perhaps two of the most base physical acts that we do. Food and intimacy are two of the most base. Dogs do both of those, all animals do those, and so do we. But those two acts specifically could be the most lifted and raised in our day. We make a bracha, we have the right food, we have brachas hamazon, brachas hamazon zadaraisa, mizbeach, karbanos, it's all food. Intimacy. We can get onto the highest level with the right kavanos, the right time, and the right place. It's unbelievable that we compare, we bring her to have this type of karban, because she took what could have been the greatest, most spiritual act, and brought it down to just an animalistic act. There's a lot of connection here between food and the type of karban that she's bringing with what she did. Says Gemara, Tanya, Abachan omer mishum at Rebbe Eliezer, Kideli Yaga. Right, why? As we briefly touched upon in the Mishnah, kidei shetachzor ba, because we don't want her to have to go through this. I'm kacha chasa Torah lo rei ritzono, says the Gemara. If the Torah is being so taking so much pity on her, and she really was an ovrei ritzono, went against Hashem, again, even if she didn't commit the act, but she still had yichud, and she still went against her husband, there's a lot there. Still, kavachomer al osei ritzono. How much more so would Hashem have pity on us if we do His will? We want to come closer. Unbelievable. Mimai mishum dechasahu. Wait, that was a beautiful line, but maybe it's not because there's chas. Maybe it's not because Hashem has chas on her. Dilmaki heichi delo timchach megillah. Maybe Hashem doesn't want His megillah to be erased, His name to be erased. Kasavar mashke v'charkach machrev es min chasa. I don't know. Yeah, because what? No. It can't be that it's just because Hashem doesn't want his name to be erased, because what we're saying is that mashke. First she drinks v'acharkav v'acharkach makar v'esmenchasa, and then she brings the karmincha. So we're doing kedei liyaga even afterwards. So it's not only that we don't want the name to be erased, the name's already erased. Still, we don't want her to have to go through this process where we still have pity on her. It's already erased, and therefore Hashem has pity even on those who sin. We said in the Mishnah that all menachos start and end with a kli sharis, but for the sota, it starts in a wicker basket and then ends in a kli sharis to show like the coarseness of her action. Urminhu, let's have a contradiction. Seder menachos. We have a Tosefta from Menachos that kind of describes the mincha process. Seder Menachos Ketzad, Oda Mevi Mincha Mitoch Beso Beklosos Shel Kesef Shel Zahav, that a person is able to bring his mincha from these like ornate baskets, either silver or gold, Vinosenas, Vinosnal Toch Klisharis, puts it into a Klisharis, Umikacha Beklisharis, and is Makdash it inside of a Klisharis, Vinosen Aleha Shmona Ulavonasa, and puts it inside of oil and frankincense, Umolicha Etzel Kohen, comes to the Kohen, the Kohen Malicha Etzel Mizbeach, the Kohen then brings it by the Mizbeach, Umagisha Vekaren Dromis Mizrachis, Umagisha Vekaren Dromis Ma'aravis, then comes, starts by the corner, the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and in a moment I hope to show you a diagram, we'll go through the diagram, Keneged Chudo Shel Karen Vidayo. Opposite the point, so to say, of the Karen, Vidayo, and that's it. The Gemara will explain what it means, Udayo, and that's it. How does that jive? Like, what's going on here? Misalakis alvona letzarechot, and then he removes the lavona to one side, v'komets imelkom shenetraba shimona, and the komets, so to say, the three fingers that he brings the komets out, the three middle fingers that he kind of scoops up, that's where the oil was mostly based. The nosno toch klisharis and puts it inside of a klisharis. Umikacho be klisharis and is makadoshin inside of the klisharis. Umalakidus lavona sa the nosna algabav and then puts the lavona on top of that oil. Umaleu maktiro be klisharis and then it brings it up from the klisharis. Umocho salts it by the mizbeach. The nosna algabish and place it onto the fires. Karav hakomets. Then when the komets is brought, shiareh nechoven, its leftovers are eaten. Virashoin hakonim litein latocha yain v'shemen udvash and kohanim can put inside of that oil, wine, oil, or honey. They just can't allow it to become chametz. They just can't allow it to like kind of be machmetz from there. But what we see from all this is that they could use some sort of gold or silver vessel. So we said before that a mincha must be brought in a kli sharis. Start in a klisharis and end with a klisharis. Only by sota it's not. It can be brought in a wicker basket. But here we seem to describe that there was some sort of gold or silver vessel. Katani mia. So what do we see? Beklosos shel kesefu uveklosos shel zav. That our Mishnah seemed to indicate that it was only with a klisharis on both sides. But here we seem to have that we have these other baskets, homemade, nice baskets, but not these klisharis that can be used. Amrav papa, our Mishnah ema Bekelim haruin leklisharis. No. When our Mishnah says that it's klisharis, it's really kelim that are allowed to be used for klisharis. Miklal dechvifa mitzris lo chazio, which seems to indicate that like the wood ones would not be allowed. Kemad lo kerbiosi Rebbe Yehuda. This seems to be against the opinion of Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. The Tanya klisharis shasan shel eitz, that a klisharis that was made of eitz. Rebbe posel Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda machshir, that Rebbe doesn't allow these of eitz. Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda does allow these ones of eitz. But if he does allow these ones of eights, then really it can't be going on what we said before, that it can't be of eight. So therefore, it's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. It says Gemara, no. Filitema Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Ema de Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's a lot of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Say it fast 5 times, it's really hard. Ema de Omer Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It says Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, Bichashuvin. When the wood is choshuv, that's when it's allowed. Bichusin mi Omer, but no. When it's chusim, when it's like not nice wood, of course it's not allowed. Lesley the Rabosi Rabbi Yehuda hakriveyu na lefechasecha, right? Because of course he would hold of the line that says where like Hashem says in Malachi that inferior items can't be used in the Beis Hamikdash. Hakriveni no lefechasecha. Would you bring such a thing to your master? Like, would you bring this? Like, it has to be kavod. There's a lot of discussion in Zvachim or in Menachos and in Mesechus Yuma about the types of things that are able to be brought. It has to be kavodik. It has to kind of give off a certain message and importance. Again, not for Hashem, but for us, so that we have kavod around this area.
That's why the Mishnah says mitzvahs, like, that means that it's a worse type of quality.
Excellent point. Thank you for bringing that out. So that's with a regular mincha, whereas by sota, it's the other way around. right? This kind of brings, and that shows the baseness of her act, that shows the coarseness of the actions. And again, I think it's always important for us to remember that even though, even if she didn't actually sin, these things are done because the process that has to take place to get her to bring that is still not a good thing. Maybe that's part of it. I mean, it had to be probably solid enough to hold, but perhaps that's also the point of it. Yeah. Meaning it's coarse, it is transparent. Yeah. Perhaps she, I'm sure there's more depth there as well. That's an excellent point. Okay, let's try to do a little bit more. I just want to show you a little graph, just so we can... Maseches Yuma, the art scroll version, has a beautiful color chart of the Beis HaMikdash, or of the of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not of the Har HaBayis here. And it goes through the numbers as to, like, which, what was where. Okay, so it goes through, and it's just incredible. It's color, it really, really shows. Just a quiz. Where's the Kotel here? Anybody know? This took me so long to figure out. Where?
Down on the right.
Down on the right. Where?
Isn't it, like, over here? It's this
section over here. Excellent. So, excellent. So, I was always wondering, because the Par Aduma apparently is done on Har HaZeisim, and you have to see right through to this area here, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But I always thought the Beis HaMikdash was, like, that way, and I was trying to think, how do you get from Har HaZeisim seeing through? It seems to be perpendicular, like, parallel. And then, once I was there by the Temple Institute, and I was looking around, so apparently this is facing towards Har HaZeisim. By the way, this wall, there was another wall around Har HaBayis, which was over here, and the Kotel is like down here, literally. It's farther than we think, so that's why we daven sometimes on an angle towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but it's down here on the Har HaBayis wall, but not on the exact Beis HaMikdash wall. This then faces outwards towards there, but this is what kind of backs up towards, mostly towards look like with the air barriers right now, but that's where it is. So let me just show you this, and we'll continue tomorrow. But this shows where everything is, but it's not so simple. There's a three-way machlokas where the Mizbeach is. Here it shows that it's a little bit down from the entrance to the Olam Moed. But there's a three-way machlokas. Either the opinion is that it's down, or straight in the middle, or north, a little bit more up. And then there's a whole discussion here as to where we're going, because we said that it's on the southwest corner, but lifnei Olam Moed, right? Lifnei Hashem, but on lift right by the Mizbech and Lefnei Hashem. So this next Gemara is really going to flow quick. It's just a question of how do we fulfill both angles of the Pesukim, both to be on the right part of the Mizbech and facing inwards toward Hashem. Because if it's here, you can't see through the entrance. So we're going to find out and go through the Machlokas as to where the Mizbech was and how both Pesukim fit. Wish everybody an excellent day. It's great to shtag together. The southwest corner here is down here. But according to this opinion, then you can't actually see from the southwest corner into the Olam Moed. So we're going to go through these discussions, and apparently it's going to come out of the thing according to Rabbi Yehuda that it was north, so that the southwest corner literally faces right in. The art scroll in our Gemara has smaller diagrams of this, but not the whole kind of panoramic shot. Have an excellent day, everybody. Great to shy. Back to Sota Issues. Mazel Tov on the first pair.